Hi everyone, welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Chris Reiser. Today I'm joined again by Hashibai.
Hello.
And today our special guest is Matt Usher. Matt, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, I'm Matt Usher. I'm a senior program manager at Microsoft. Been at Microsoft about 12 and a half years, and I currently own the Azure SQL Data Warehouse service.
Great. And if I'm not mistaken, that's what you're here to talk to us about.
That is, yes.
Great. So why don't we just dive right into your presentation?
Sure. So let's start with what the Azure SQL Data Warehouse service is. The Azure SQL Data Warehouse is a relational cloud data warehouse built on the Azure cloud. It gives you this unique opportunity of separating storage and compute, giving you all the demands of all of your data warehousing workloads so that you can scale up and scale down to kind of meet your business needs. It's really unique in that approach.
For someone that maybe is just kind of watching this and is not familiar, can you kind of explain what the purpose of a data warehouse versus just a SQL database is?
Sure, it's a great question. When you think about a SQL database, you think about a system that's behind, say, a website tracking your orders, those kinds of things.
Sure.
When you think about a data warehouse, it's really about getting insight from that data. So you imagine, how did we do month over month in kind of traditional reporting scenarios? Did we sell enough widgets this month compared to last month? This new kind of data emission that's happening in the world, you think about all the devices that are emitting data, your cell phones, your bands, your thermostats, your refrigerators at this point, all emitting data. You start to be able to use that data to get insight. Mm. What are customers wanting? What kind of analytics can you do on predictive maintenance on, say, mining equipment? Like, there's all these kinds of aspects of data that you can start to mine to get insight. Mm. The data warehouse is really truly that repository of where all that data lands, and then being able to query and get insight from that data.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I remember, well, this will expose my age. So about 15 years ago, I was working with those RAP solutions, like SQL Server Analysis Services, Hyperion S-Base, those multi-dimensional databases.
Yep.
What's the difference between those and the data warehouse, or what's the relation between them?
Yeah, it's another great question. So SQL data warehouse is really a relational data warehouse. So you think of it more synonymous with SQL Server. So it has kind of the same constructs of tables and kind of relationships of tables. So you can imagine a customer's table and an order table. So you can kind of track that kind of model. A multi-dimensional model is really kind of a cube of data, looking at things kind of over time. So it's really kind of just a different approach of modeling your data.
Okay. But the end goal is also to provide business insight.
That's always the goal, yeah. You build one of these to really understand what's your business doing, how is it performing, and then how can you actually do something competitive. You see use cases of customers doing things like modeling future behavior. So my competitor just put a 10% sale on this region in, say, the United States. Mm-hmm. How does that impact my business? Mm-hmm. And so really kind of doing forward forecasting as well as just kind of historical reporting. How did we do last quarter? So it's really kind of the combination of the two.
All right. Okay. Cool.
So probably the easiest way, instead of just standing here talking about it the whole time, is really just to show you how to go create one of these. It's a Azure managed service, so you can just start by going to the Data and Storage tab inside the Azure portal, going to SQL Data Warehouse, the preview currently, and then entering some basic information. In this case, we're just going to enter a name, give the database a name. Oops, we'll call it Demo DW1, pick the subscription. I'm going to use an existing resource group. And you have the option of creating some sample data just to get started. So it gives you kind of a tool set to start with. You can write some queries just to give you some basic ideas of how this works.
And is this the same source data that you get as an option if you create a normal SQL database?
So this is currently AdventureWorks Data Warehouse.
Okay.
So it's a very similar data set, but optimized for data warehousing scenarios.
Understood.
One of the unique things about the Azure SQL Data Warehouse service is this ability to scale. And we talked about this just a little bit to start, which is really this concept of separating of storage and compute. Mm-hmm. In data warehousing, the biggest problem that almost every system has, historically on-premise solutions to cloud solutions, is really you have these large sets of data. We start talking about things in terms of terabytes and petabytes. Mm-hmm. If you've ever watched trying to copy a very large file from one drive to another, you watch the little dialogue come up and it's taking a while. Imagine if that was 25, 50, 100 terabytes. Mm-hmm. So moving data rounds in these systems is really, really difficult. So what we've done with Azure SQL Data Warehouse is we've separated these. You have a storage component and a compute component. And by doing this, you can scale the service basically to meet your business needs. Mm. So it allows you to hit peak demands. Maybe you have end-of-month reporting, you can just dial the system up.
I see.
In reality, what's happening is customers are starting to find unique ways to actually take advantage of this kind of separation. We have a customer who is a small gaming studio, and they were able to absorb 100x kind of compression of load coming into their system. And what happened was their game was featured on the home store or the home of the iOS App Store. Mm-hmm. They went from a very small number of gamers to a very large number of gamers in 48 hours.
Right.
They simply went into the portal, they slid the slider to the right, added compute power, and they absorbed the crush. It took 60 seconds for them to resize.
Very
so
nice.
They're able to do what would take you weeks or months of buying hardware, provisioning it, racking, stacking, and doing all that effort. Mm-hmm. They could literally just go into a portal and slide it.
Okay.
So here I'm going to leave it at the default setting, but you can see it's simply just a simple matter of just resizing. and click Create. And this will take about 3 to 5 minutes for the process of actually creating one of these data warehouses. Now, instead of doing that, instead of sitting here for 3 to 5 minutes, let's switch over to that same server. But I've created another data warehouse so we can kind of just jump through how this thing actually works. You can see I'm connected via SSMS, so no different than standard SQL Server or Azure SQL Database. But I want to point out a couple things. So this is SSMS, but here you can actually see on this logical server, I actually have a mix of databases. I have a DemoDB, which is actually a SQL database, and then I have a DemoDW, which is a relational data warehouse, the Azure SQL Data Warehouse.
So they all sit on an Azure SQL Server?
On an Azure SQL Server. So, and these services are built in conjunction with each other. So the same underlying SQL Server infrastructure that runs Azure SQL Database also runs Azure SQL DW. So it's a common platform across both. So it's just SQL Server 16 under the covers. And so just to kind of give you an idea of how this works, we'll go through kind of a typical SQL Server scenario. We're going to create some tables. So I'm going to create a product and a dimensions table here for customers. And it's really that simple. It's the same T-SQL that I'm used to running. It just goes ahead and executes, and it just returns, you know, table creation scripts. Now, one thing I want to call out that's different here is SQL Data Warehouse is actually a distributed system. So it's an MPP-based system. And really what that means is if you think of SQL Server or other relational database products, they work under an SMP model, which really is a shared architecture. So you think of things like shared memory, shared bus, shared disks, all of those things, shared OS. In an MPP system, what it is it's a divide and conquer methodology. So it's a set of products or set of services working together in conjunction. So really, when you think of this MPP system, what it is it's a divide and conquer methodology. So you imagine instead of one product working in kind of serial fashion, hey, I'm going to run a query, a set of steps in order to execute this, you actually divide that across a set of machines and scale out. And you give all of this power to be able to execute in parallel. And the way that we see this in the differentiation is the ability to define how a table is split. So you can imagine one of these tables. These are fairly small, products. You're not going to have a lot of products. But it's split across all of these machines, and they're able to then execute in parallel. And I'll show you how this actually works in just a minute. So in these small tables, we're just going to go
actually, before we go forward.
Sure.
So here you are connected to one SQL Server. How is distributed to multiple? Is it distributed to multiple SQL Server instances?
Yeah, logically you can think of this as there's a head node, or a control node we call it, that is basically a traffic cop. And then behind it is a series of SQL Server instances that hold slices of the data.
So when you interact with the database, you're talking to the head node.
Yeah, you look at the whole representation as a logical database. It's not actually a single database like you would think with SQL Server. And so it presents itself as everything you would expect from SQL Server. Single database, I can interact with it the same way. But it's a distributed system that does all this capability. So we can go insert some simple data in it. And you can see this is the same syntax that we would use for SQL Server. So your skills transition very well from SQL into this model. It's SQL Server under the covers. And again, all of these kind of basic functionality that you expect. I can go select data, and I'll do this again here in a grid, so you can see. I can go select data out of it, and it returns exactly the same way that you would expect. Now, what you don't realize under the covers that just happened when I ran this is a query was sent to that head node. It created a distributed plan, went to all of the nodes, re-executed parallel queries, return the results, and then munge those, aggregated them, and send them back to the client. That all happened here in just a second for it to be able to actually process that. And so the power is, if you imagine, this is just a 4-row data set here just for sample, but if you imagine that that was a billion row table or multi-billion row table, it's able to process that down into chunks that each SQL Server can execute very, very rapidly, giving you really the time to insight that you're looking for from your business.
And I guess based on the data access pattern, instead of a round robin, you can use some other distribution method so that you can have some optimization in terms of query and updates.
That's a great question, and you led me right into the next table we're going to
build.
So imagine we have a fact table, traditional kind of star model where you have dimension tables and fact tables. And if you look at this, we have a couple of different kind of key differentiators. The first is that in this table, we're creating a clustered column store index, which is a vertical compression, so columnar-based compression model. So that in data warehouses, traditionally, you have very wide tables, hundreds of columns potentially. And so you want to horizontally or vertically partition that data so that you can optimize query performance. So that's one area. The second is the distribution method, how you want to actually create rows across those kind of shards of data. So instead of round robin where server number one gets row one, server number two gets row two, you can actually optimize so that all the rows are together and then queries can perform very fast. The last thing here is I'm actually creating partitioned data. So SQL Server has this additional capability of writing data into partitions. And what that allows it to do is it optimizes based on query or query behaviors how the data is returned. In this case, I'm partitioning by date, so on a month range for 2016. But SQL then only has to run some of that data for I/O reads. So you imagine, hey, I'm going to go see what's happened in the last 90 days in my system. It only has to, say, read the last 3 months or three partitions instead of the entire table, offering even better performance.
Yeah,
so being able to partition your data. When we start talking about things in, you know, tables that have 25, 50 terabytes in them, and you see sub-second response, it's all these kinds of capabilities that allow that to happen.
Okay. Will you be able to repartition a table?
Yeah, so you can create partitions, you can modify partitions. There's a very common pattern of loading data into a staging table, making all the transformations of your data, and then just simply partition switching, so adding that from the staging table to a production table. In SQL, that's a metadata operation. It happens in seconds, and all of your queries then get to take advantage of that new set of data.
Awesome.
So these are built-in SQL Server capabilities. So here I just created that table. And again, I'm going to insert some just dummy data here to get us started so we can actually see what this looks like. And again, this is now going out, creating queries into all of those individual tables and distributing that data across all of those nodes. And in this case, it's about 10 nodes running behind the scenes. And again, if I go run a simple query, you can see it went out to those nodes, asked for all that data back, aggregated it, and returned it to the caller here very, very fast. And again, this is a small data set. This is really kind of targeting at 1 terabyte to 1 petabyte kind of data sets. So, so this you'd expect to be fairly fast. Now I'm going to do a couple other things. I'm going to create a stored procedure. This is pretty straightforward. You know, it's just taking some data and inserting it into that table, that fact table we just created. So not really a fancy thing here, but you can see it's, again, that same SQL Server behaviors that you'd expect. You can take your code that you use today in your data warehouse in SQL Server, and it transitions right easily into this product. And then finally, I'm going to create a view so we can actually go get some information back out of the system. And in this case, this is a, you imagine a band. You know, you have one here on your arm, and it's really kind of monitoring some different things. In this case, we're monitoring kind of somebody who's running. So, you know, I'm a runner by this is how I like to get my own exercise. And so, you know, I always try to say, oh, I'm a world-class runner. I could really run. You know, in reality, look, I work in an office, and so I'm not really that fast. But you can imagine monitoring, you know, somebody like me or somebody like a professional athlete. And so we're going to kind of model that up here.
Okay.
And then we'll do that by this kind of top runner's view. And if you go see, we run the view now. Again, it's all that same SQL Server. And in this case, there's no data because we don't have any of the bands emitting. So what I've done is I built just a simple little console app. And what it's going to do is it's going to emulate kind of those runners. So imagine myself and a professional runner actually sitting there, you know, with our bands on, and it's emitting this data to the cloud. And so we're just going to start this up. And it'll start to emit data to the cloud. And really, it's just emitting, here's a runner, and here's kind of the steps they've taken in the last 5 seconds.
And so in this case, your console app is calling directly into that store procedure within Data Warehouse?
In this case, it is. But you can also integrate through things like Azure Stream Analytics and Event Hubs, where you could light it up through an Event Hub, capture it there, do live reporting through Power BI, or have a Stream Analytics job inserted directly into Azure SQL Data Warehouse.
Okay, great.
And I guess this console application is in C Sharp?
Yeah, this is just a .NET application.
So what library do you use? Do you use ADO.NET? Or?
Yeah, ADO.NET is traditional SQL
Server. It's the same thing, okay.
Yep, it's SQL Server. So everything you can think to do with SQL Server, you can do with Azure SQL Data Warehouse.
Awesome.
Great.
And so you can see I have a set of kind of now data being emitted. You imagine these are just a set of runners. And so if I go rerun that view again, you'll see in just a second, it'll go aggregate that data for me. And so you can see the weekend warrior and that world-class runner. Now they've started to run some distance. And we'll kind of use this as we go. You can also see that they're using different products. So we're able to look and see and merge all that data and go, oh, okay, I've got a world-class runner is using our original product, maybe it was a prototype. Now I'm starting to sell this out in the marketplace and I can see who's using what. So really kind of that insight into my data.
Cool.
Now, you know, this isn't all that useful. Oops, let me pivot back to that. If you look at this and, okay, well, this is a pretty simple example and it's a small set of data. A human can kind of interpret this pretty easily. But you can imagine larger sets of data.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So visualization in these kinds of systems is really, really critical. How do you go and get data insight in this if you just have a data set? Sometimes it's not really that easy.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've done is we've actually built into the system the ability to connect very quickly to things like Power BI. So to make this very simple, all we do is we have a simple open in Power BI button right off the portal. Off that database. I'll actually click it this time. And this will pivot over to Power BI. And I'm going to go ahead and sign in. And this would take just a second. And what will happen is the services themselves are connected. So the services know how to create these connections between the two services. So in this case, it'll go through and it'll actually check to see, here's all my information. So I didn't have to pass anything. My server, my database. And in this case, all it's going to ask for is my password. And I can go ahead and sign in. Now, at this point, Power BI is going back to the data warehouse and inspecting it for all kinds of information that it can use to pull in for visualizations, so tables and views, essentially. So I'll go ahead and open one of these once it's done. And you'll see here's my list of things that are attached to that database. And if I go and select that top runners view we were just looking at, I could visualize this really quickly. I could say customer and total distance. And simply, Power BI is going to go query that database, and it's going to bring that data back into Power BI for visualization. Now, we've all seen Power BI demos, and this is that same grid we saw before. So I can simply turn this into a donut and expand this up a little bit. Oops. And now I have a view of kind of who's running what distance. So you can see my weekend warrior versus my professional runner. You could also do that same thing where you could say, maybe I want to look to see, you know, who's using what product. So I could do that, say, by product and total distance. And again, this is a simple contrived example, but you can see how quickly I can take that data, get access to it. Maybe I want to put this on a column or chart. And I can simply see who's using what product. Mm-hmm. And we'll wait for Power BI to re-render this here. And you can see now which product is actually getting used in the marketplace.
So I think, I mean, my takeaway from this is that with maybe terabytes or petabytes of data, you can go from having that data somewhere where it's, A, it's queryable and quickly queryable, mm-hmm. to being able to actually make visible representations of that data, like, very quickly.
Yeah, and you can see essentially everything I've just done you could do over terabytes of data.
Right.
And so now with Power BI, you can share this out to your entire organization, and everybody has access to the data almost instantaneously.
Very cool.
Yeah, and so really this power is the ability to get insight into that data. There's so much data in the world today that really understanding how do you differentiate that, how do you understand what your customers are doing, and how do you use that to better your business is really what the system is about. What's interesting about data warehouses, it's a core component of an entire solution. One of the premises of Microsoft coming to market with these types of products is that we offer the entire suite. So we have tools like Azure Data Factory, Azure Stream Analytics to be able to ingest data very rapidly through all these kind of front-end devices.
Right.
Being able to land that in something like SQL Data Warehouse and be able to query over large, large data sets very, very rapidly. Mm-hmm. And then with things like Power BI, even Excel, SQL Server Reporting Services, all of these visualization capabilities to be able to give you that visual insight as to what is actually happening. And being able to merge both kind of real-time data that you would get from a stream as well as kind of this historical view of data that you would get from kind of data sets like this, then you can go, wow, this is really what's happening in my business, both right now, historically over time, how are we performing, all of those insights you really want to get, you can do very, very quickly.
So as we are talking about collecting a large amount of data, we are provisioning a data warehouse instance. Are there like size or bandwidth or throughput limits that people need to be aware of?
No, so really the largest constraint of large data movement in any type of system like this is truly bandwidth. Mm-hmm. You know, moving a terabyte of data over the wire isn't really that hard. Moving a petabyte of data over the wire is kind of difficult. So for very, very large data sets, imagine a petabyte of data coming into the system. We offer the ability to ship disks through the Azure Import-Export service, so those kinds of capabilities. But generally for things like you know, daily loads into the system, we have plenty of customers loading 1, 2, 3, 5 terabytes a day into the system over just public internet.
Okay.
And it's perfectly capable of doing that.
So the service itself doesn't impose any additional throttling or
not
limits?
At all. Okay. Cool. And it's a really simple service. We have this concept of kind of separation of storage and compute so that you can kind of control your costs differently than another system. So what we're finding is customers are starting to take advantage of that. You imagine that data warehousing has a data loading problem. That's generally where people have issues with data warehousing. So they want to load a bunch of data, aggregate it, get it prepped, ready for reporting so that the business folks coming in can see, oh, this is what's happened in the last hour in our business or the last day in our business. That's really where data warehousings have been kind of constrained. So you right size for that environment. With this separation, what people are doing is you have this ability to scale the system up. And so you'll see this data load, which is usually computationally intensive, load all the data, process it, get it prepped, and then scale the system down when they're done to save cost. You don't need all that compute power to just simply run a dashboard.
Right.
And so they're able to do that by just simply scripting this entire process. So what used to take 10 hours with one unit, they can do in 1 hour with 10 units. Cost the same, but gives them the business insight in a quicker time to really understanding what's going on.
Yeah.
So this is really kind of a unique capability that we have this ability. Now, I want to pivot into a different kind of aspect of this. When you think of SQL Data Warehouse, you think of, hey, these are kind of the crown jewels of my business, right? The, you know, all of the capabilities of everything about my business are now put into the cloud service. You think about customer records, you think about, you know, all of your kind of maybe HR data. How do you think about how do I protect my employees' data? How do I protect my customers' data? So we get to the cloud service, we offer a couple of capabilities that I want to kind of highlight. The first is this concept of auditing and threat detection. It's the ability to essentially audit everything that comes in and out of this data warehouse. And so you can go turn this on. By default, it's set at the server level, but I can override it here for specifically this database. And I'm going to go turn it on. And then I can pick the set of events that I want to audit. And you can see what they are, whether they're SQL statements, they're stored procedures being executed, logins, so you can actually see who's trying to get into your system, those kinds of things. You can watch all the transactions that are occurring. And it's as simple as just clicking, you know, OK to the events I want, defining where I want to store the data. I optionally have the ability to send an alert to an administrator or a DL so that I can actually get insight into things that are being logged. Mm-hmm. So I can simply just save this. And in just a minute, data auditing on that database is now enabled. And so you have full tracking of anything that's ever happened in that system. So you can audit anything that's happened.
Mm-hmm. So for the alerts, do you define some kind of a triggering criteria for the events to be sent?
Yeah, so one of the things I actually didn't tell you here is this concept of threat detection. So behind the scenes, the SQL Data Warehouse and SQL DB services have this capability of running machine learning under the covers to actually look for things like intrusions. So mm-hmm. somebody trying a bunch of different passwords against the same, you know, credentials, for example, mm-hmm. and really looking for those. And those are kind of the automated alerts that get sent. There's a set of heuristics that look like, oh, this looks like an intrusion attempt, and we'll then automatically send that email. And it gives you the ability of knowing there's an automated system behind the scenes protecting your data. So you don't have to worry, well, do I have to audit this data? How do I understand who's trying to break into my system? And that's really kind of one aspect of how you can kind of manage your data in the cloud service. There's another one, which is the ability to encrypt the data on disk. So simply by going in and enabling what's called transparent data encryption, and we'll give this just a second to load, what this will do is it'll actually encrypt the data sitting on disk. Mm-hmm. So if you're worried about cloud environments and shared environments, this is a certificate-based encryption methodology, which allows you to say when the disks or when the files are sitting on disk, they're encrypted. Mm-hmm. And if somebody was just able to copy those somehow, take them off the premise of Azure somehow and try to replay them, they still don't have access to your data. Yeah. It's completely encrypted. It's on by default, but you can simply turn it on or turn it off, and there's negligible performance impact.
Does this interact with Azure Key Vault, or is this just a separate certificate system that's generated whenever you turn it on?
Today, it doesn't integrate with Azure Key Vault. That's actually a feature that's coming in the future.
Great, okay.
Yeah, so you'll be able to control those certificates yourself. Okay. Actually have complete control. The last thing I want to show you is actually the ability to secure this. So you think of all of the ways that systems are broken into today. When we think about kind of cloud data, there's no difference. You want to make sure that your employees aren't really the ones who are breaking into your systems. It's a really common scenario that an employee leaves the company, they still have access to your systems, you haven't shut them off. How do you control that? Mm-hmm. Many of the cloud services in SQL Data Warehouse by default was no different, that we enabled usernames and passwords to be able to access it. And you can see that by my connections. You know, I would go in and enter a username and password to access this database. We've enabled, at the server level, what happens is both between SQL Database and SQL Data Warehouse, you have the ability to go on the logical server and actually define Azure Active Directory integration, so AAD integration.
Oh, so that's awesome. Just like you have the AD integration on-premise.
Mm-hmm. And so you can go in, and in this case, I'm on the server level, and I'm going to go set an admin. And this is connected to the Microsoft corporate credentials system. So Microsoft's Azure Active Directory domain has been pushed to connect to the Azure Active Directory. Oops. And but if you're also just using Azure Active Directory on its own as a standalone, you can also authenticate there. Mm. So you can see it finds me, and I'll select myself as the admin, and I'll simply save. And so this will take just a second to do. You can see it's actually already done. And if I pivot back over to a second SSMS instance, you can actually see I'm now going to connect to that same database, but I'm going to use the Azure Active Directory integration. And simply clicking connect will use my corporate credentials, connect to the cloud data warehouse, and allow me to control all the security around this data warehouse, mm-hmm. simply like I do every other on-premise database. I can control it through security groups, all of those kinds of aspects, and give me the complete control of this system. So if I have that scenario where a customer's leaving, or I have a customer access issue, or I have a personnel who's either coming into the company, I can grant them appropriate permissions through Windows domain groups, or if somebody leaves, as they leave the company, their domain account gets invalidated, they now will automatically get pulled out of the system and remove access.
And you can do kind of the same fine-grained like permissions that you can do
absolutely
with normal on-premise.
Yep. So you think about SQL Server and all the capabilities that you have, though, this is no different. It
awesome.
Works and acts exactly the same way.
Very cool.
And so you can see in just a second, now I have access to that system just like I did before.
Very nice.
Yeah, so cool. It takes just a second here. And so really, this gives you kind of a complete control of the system. You can create a database, you can secure it, you can manage it, you have this mm-hmm. kind of petabyte scale of time to insight for looking at all of this data and trying to really understand your business, and you have all of the security controls in place so that you can trust that the cloud will be able to support your business both from a security and data perspective, okay. as well as then giving you that insight to the business.
Very nice.
So before I forget, I have one question I forgot to ask. So in terms of transactions, I don't need to do anything special either. Basically, I can operate on multiple rows, the transaction is automatically distributed and handled for me?
Yeah, so ultimately, if you want to think of this as SQL Server is a standard system. You have all of these kind of transition or transactions and locking models and all of those things built in. Mm-hmm. Under the covers, this is SQL Server. So it's the same SQL Server 2016 that runs SQL Database, it runs SQL DW. It's actually the same infrastructure.
Okay.
So all of the things that you think you can do in SQL Server, transaction management, query hints, locks, all those kinds of things are also capable here. So you can do things where, you know, the data warehouse gives you all of those kind of SQL capabilities. We were talking about security and control. You have that same set. So you can create roles and users and all of that access. You have table management. You can create permissions on views and all of those capabilities. And really that kind of cohesion between these two products really enables this product to be able to stand on all the capabilities SQL has. Mm-hmm. In SQL 16, we introduced things like better cardinality estimation, query optimizations for columnar stores, and so we were really able to take advantage of all those very fast.
Very cool. So in this case, would it be fair to say, like, whenever I provision a database on Azure, I just go with data warehouse instead of the SQL Server itself?
Well, they're for different workloads. So you imagine this system is optimized for long-running queries. So data warehousing is really talking about latency, really optimizing for how long a query is going to take versus the number of concurrent queries. Whereas a database, like a traditional OLTP database, is really talking about kind of very short-lived queries, but running a lot of them concurrently. So you imagine there's a difference between your website taking orders. Maybe you have hundreds or thousands of customers all ordering at the same time. And that's one problem. But then saying, well, I've got 5 years of historical data, and trying to understand what's a query across all of that data and how can I get that to run as quickly as possible? You know, what insight can I get from that data and how do I understand it? So they're different kind of architectural approaches.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
Cool.
So.
Great, and where can people go if they want to learn more about Data Warehouse?
The easiest way to get this is you can just go to aka.ms/SQLDW. Okay. And I'll take you right to the main portal page for the SQL Server.
And we'll make sure that's in the links below.
Yep, and it'll give you kind of all of the capabilities. It'll give you all the pricing information, all of our documentation, and there's a simple button for you to just click and get started with the service right away.
And now, do you have a Twitter handle in case people want to reach out to you?
I do. I'm a big golfer, so my Twitter handle is actually two_under, so two_under.
Okay, if you go like this, we'll actually edit it right in the video.
two_under.
Perfect. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we'll make sure we put that there. So thanks for coming on. You know, it's fun to see what you can do with Data Warehouse. And I think what I like so much is kind of all that transparency that is behind the scenes. You can still do everything you can do with SQL. It's really awesome.
Yeah, if you know SQL Server, you can be productive right away.
Exactly. Right away, yeah. And that's really the goal, is really giving you a very complex system to solve all your business problems, but not making it complex for you.
Yep.
Nice. Cool. Well, thanks for coming on the show. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Everybody out there, thanks for watching. Make sure to follow us at Cloud Cover Show, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.